Welcome to Sabbath School, brought to you by It Is Written. I'm John Bradshaw. Our lesson this quarter is about education, tremendously important subject. And today, in particular, we're talking about education and the family. The family. I think we're going to learn plenty that is really a blessing to us. Now, I'm thrilled to welcome to our program today, being as this quarter's quarterly was written by Seventh-day Adventist College presidents. So I'm welcoming the president of Southwestern Adventist University, Dr. Ken Shaw. Dr. Shaw, thank you so much for joining me.
It's a pleasure to be a part of the program today, Pastor Bradshaw.
Thanks for being here. And along with you is Anna Patterson, who once was a professor in the business department at Southwestern Adventist University. Now she's a special assistant to the president. Anna, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having us.
What a tremendous lesson. The family. Whew, where do you begin? Is a wonderful memory verse. My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. That is Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8. I want to read just a little bit from the text of the lesson. As human beings, we are always, ideally, learning. In fact, life itself is a school. That's a very open-ended sort of question I'm about to ask you. Dr. Shaw, what do you think that really means, life is a school? Make that practical for us.
Well, in education, we talk about lifelong learners. We want to help our students to be able to not only get a great education here, but as they walk out the doors, to continue to learn. I've often talked about heaven being a school. Sometimes that's not a good metaphor if you haven't made good grades, that type of thing, but I think when we get to heaven, it's just going to be an awesome time when we're going to learn from our Creator of all the different things that He's created. It's just going to be magnificent. So I think part of the job of the family, you know, the parents, is to educate young people at an early age to be able to learn about where we came from, that is, who created us, and how to deal with the world around us, and then where we're going as well.
The lesson says, and this is still on a Sabbath afternoon, for most of human history, education took place mostly in the home, especially for the early years. Thinking back to it, the home is where education really did take place, and those first few years are always pretty well spent in the home. Maybe there's preschool and so forth, but even today, the home is where so much education takes place. Now, I want to look at Sunday because it talks about the first family, the education of Adam and Eve. And I want to ask you about this. There are some verses listed. The lesson suggests that these verses, or these principles at least, would surely have been part of the education Adam and Eve imparted to their children. Luke 10, 27, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Galatians 3, verse 11, there's no one justified by the law. The just shall live by faith. Revelation 22, blessed are they that do his commandments. So why would these principles have been so important for Adam and Eve to teach their children? And why would they be important principles, biblical principles, to inculcate into our young people today?
Well, when I was reading this specifically, I was looking at, God as being the giver of the light of knowledge. I believe that's in 2 Corinthians 4, 6. And about how God really delivers to us, and he's the one who opens our minds when it comes to knowledge. And then following up on that, when he says to love with all your heart, soul, and mind, how do you love with your mind? How do you love through your thoughts, and how those thoughts have to turn into actions in order for us to really be able to teach others?
Dr. Shaw, there's something that fascinates me here, just a little further down the page. There's a paragraph, I think it's really quite potent. Christian education is a commitment to educating families and members in doctrine, worship, instruction, fellowship, evangelism, and service. Home is where you minister to family members about the love and promises of God. It is where Jesus is introduced to children as their Lord and Savior and friend, and where the Bible is upheld as the Word of God. Family is where you model what a healthy relationship with our Heavenly Father looks like. Now, you lead a pretty significant Christian educational institution with a wonderful track record and a great reputation, Southwestern Adventist University in Keene, Texas. So there you are in an academic environment. This reaches down to the family environment. Now, you see students come through your school from every background. Tell me, what are some of the things you notice as are the big differences? Children who were privileged or blessed to be raised in that kind of incubator in a Christian home, just what does it do? Why is it so important to pour these principles into our children when they're young?
You know, I'm blessed to be able to work with some wonderful young people that walk through our doors. Our tagline here is knowledge, faith, and service. And like you said, we have many students that come here that have grown up in a Christian home. And to me, they have a richness to life. They understand education is learning about many of the things that God has provided. And I see differences between those types of students and students that have come to campus without a Christian background. And so that richness isn't there. They're actively pursuing an educational degree so that they can be successful in the world. And that's part of what we do. But the faith element of our tagline, knowledge, faith, and service, and that's just what you read just a few minutes ago, that there's this faith element and also service element. And I think that's so important. You know, in education, you think about theory and practice. And I think parents, they can teach the doctrines, they can teach the biblical principles, but they have to live it in their lives. And I think that's an important ingredient for a healthy family.
And are there a lot of, I was going to say young people, but a lot of young people or former young people who didn't get that start in life? So that richness Dr. Shaw referred to sort of as missing. It's not a case of if you've missed it, you never get it, because we can catch up with that those educational principles, whether in an academic setting, a Christian academic setting, or in church, in our own personal devotional life. But what would you say to somebody who said, you know, I missed that. I wasn't raised in that Christian incubator. How does somebody go about making up for lost time? Can you? If you were not raised in that kind of Christian environment where these principles are spoon-fed to you in your infancy, what do you do later on in life to make sure that you're not missing out, there aren't gaps in your experience?
Well, I think that one of the things that's really interesting, I'm going to speak a little bit to our campus, is that when we talk about culture and the sense of an organizational culture, if you were to ask what's special about Southwestern, the word that comes up over and over again is family. And I think that the foundation for that stems from the fact that we're able to build relationships with our students. This is a smaller campus. It feels very intimate. And we can build relationships with our students that makes them feel like that when they're on our campus, they're a part of a family. And sometimes if you have come from a background where your nuclear family maybe had some rough times or failed you in some way or didn't live up to the Christian example that you really wanted in your life, that surrounding yourself and finding relationships with other people, with Christians, it can really reflect what God wants for you as far as a family relationship, even if it doesn't come from necessarily your nuclear family.
You know, Dr. Shaw, there might be a little bit of a danger here. We're talking about the family in terms of education, and we could very easily idealize the Christian family. I think if you lined up 10 successful Christians today and asked them about their family life, their upbringing, I do not believe all 10 of them are going to say that they came from perfect families whose parents never put a foot wrong. Let's consider Mary and Joseph as parents. Now, what I'm about to say, I don't mean really to criticize, but they weren't even perfect parents. For example, they went on a three-day-long journey once or a couple of days' journey and then said, oh, we have failed to make sure that our own son is with us. So what I mean is, I don't want to call them terrible parents, but even they made mistakes. So let's talk to the parents for a moment. you're looking at the way you're raising your kids and you say, maybe I'm not doing it right. Or maybe your children are adults and they've left home and you say, there were some things I didn't do right. Is it ever too late? Does the family ever cease to be a place of education and a place where Jesus is revealed? What do we say to parents who might be honest enough to say, there are a few things I didn't do quite right?
Pastor Bradshaw, of course. I mean, we're all human and we're all sinful. And I'm still a parent, but my children are grown now. And I know they could tell you that I made some mistakes. But there's something special about family. Every Christmas, we would take our children and go to my parents' house in East Tennessee. And all of my brothers and my sister would do the same thing. And we would celebrate with family. There's something special about coming together as a family group. And we know mistakes happen, but we look over those but we need to talk about those as well. So I know some families are not blessed. I mean, brothers don't talk to brothers because of an argument they had 25 years ago. I don't understand that, but there are ways that people can overcome that. And that communication is so important as that relationships moves forward to try to bring reconciliation to those families.
Yeah, reconciliation. Anna, let's look at, where are we on Tuesday? Communication. How important is communication? I mean, no, let me ask that question again. The obvious answer is very important. But how important is it in a family, in the context of education and raising children, to strive to make sure that communication is as effective as it possibly can be? What can we do in families for the sake of our kids to make sure that we are communicating?
Well, my children are 12, 15, and 17. And you know that sometimes communicating with teenagers can be challenging because they don't offer a lot of information back if you are asking questions. What I think is really crucial is that we can be transparent with our children and find ways to connect with them that they feel comfortable. And that can be understanding that education takes place in all forms of your relationship. You can learn and teach when you're camping with your child or going fishing or doing something on their terms. And sometimes it's that act of relationship that can open the door to communication. And that's really essential, is keeping those lines of communication open and building the foundation for long-term relationships.
I sure would not want my children to be here and hold up a scorecard rating dad's performance. But one thing that you said, you said it triggered this thought in my mind. I remember when my son was much younger and he decided he was interested in fishing. Oh, man, I've never been any kind of a fisherman. I never thought it was. I thought it was a perfectly good way to wreck an otherwise good day. But, you know, suddenly I became a fisherman and I was all over it. And we went fishing several times and had a great time. And, of course, those are opportunities for real communication to take place when you're spending that quality time with kids. Thanks to both of you. There's more right ahead. We'll be back with the second part of our Sabbath School program today. Education is the theme of the quarter, and today, education in the family with Anna Patterson and Dr. Ken Shaw from Southwestern Adventist University in King, Texas. We'll be right back with more Sabbath School from It Is Written. Thank you for remembering that It Is Written exists because of the kindness of people just like you. To support this international life-changing ministry, please call us now at 800-253-3000. You can send your tax-deductible gift to the address on your screen, or you can visit us online at itiswritten.com. Thank you for your prayers and for your financial support. Our number again is 800-253-3000, or you can visit us online at itiswritten.com.
What does the Bible say about astrology?
Why do bad things happen to good people?
What color is Jesus?
If you have a question, we'd love to find an answer for you from the Bible. Line upon line from It Is Written TV.
You know that at It Is Written, we are serious about studying the Word of God, and we encourage you to be serious as well. Well, here's what you do if you want to dig deeper into God's Word. Go to itiswritten.study for the It Is Written Bible Study Guides online. 25 in-depth Bible studies that will take you through the major teachings of the Bible. You'll be blessed, and it's something you'll want to tell others about as well. itiswritten.study. Go further. itiswritten.study. Welcome back to Sabbath School from It Is Written. My very special guests today are Dr. Ken Shaw, who is the president of Southwestern Adventist University in Keene, Texas, and Anna Patterson, special assistant to the president at the same institution. Our quarterly, this quarter, was written by Seventh-day Adventist College presidents. And so it's really a blessing to speak to leaders of academic institutions with keen insights into the Word of God and education, being as education is our subject. Dr. Shaw, let me share a couple of verses with you, because the lesson on Tuesday under communication says, read the following verses. What can we learn from them about how to build strong family relationships, or any kind of relationship for that matter? So I'll share a couple with you, and you can identify, isolate, whatever you want. Psalm 37, 7 through 9, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Proverbs 27 and verse 17, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. And we'll look in Ephesians 4 and verse 15 as well, just to give us something over in the New Testament. It says, but speaking the truth in love, that you may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. There's a lot there and a lot of great principles. How can we apply these, relate these to our lives in the context of the family as a place to grow Christians?
Well, I like the aspect of iron sharpens iron. It takes a family member to just be straight with you. And sometimes when you're out with a new friend, they're going to be very cautious in terms of what they share with you. But the family member will shoot straight with you. And the last text that you read about how we need to speak in truth. And, you know, if we are really good listeners and we listen to people and they're telling you something straight and truthful, that's going to help us to grow in our relationship with that person and also to improve ourselves as we go through life. So I really like all of these texts. And then, you know, to be still and wait on the Lord, I think sometimes, you know, I'm a doer. I like to get things done. But, you know, our Creator is wanting to speak to us, and we need to pause. And having that energy that we get from resting in the Lord and listening to him will also help us to be able to get through the day and to reflect him in a positive way.
And are we looking at Wednesday, the role of parents? The first line of comment says, parents have an awesome responsibility. Well, that's true. And here's a verse listed for us, Ephesians 6 and verse 4, and you fathers and fathers, mothers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. There are precious few parents who don't want to be good parents. There are also, I don't know that there's precious few, but there's relatively few parents that are great parents. How do you encourage parents who are sitting out and saying, I want to be that parent who points my child to Jesus? Where do they start? How do they go on? What advice would you give based on what we read here in Scripture?
Well, I think that all of us can remember times that we've lost our patience or said things that we didn't want to say in a certain tone to our children, and we make mistakes. I think that one of the most important things is to ask forgiveness of our children if we've done something wrong. To model what it means to ask for forgiveness and to give forgiveness and to be transparent. And even going back to Ephesians 4, where it says, speaking the truth in love. sometimes the truth doesn't feel good. The truth can sting. But how do we deliver truth in a way that really is nurturing and that comes from a place of love so that our children can understand what our intentions are for them?
A little further down, it says Christian parents have a moral obligation to provide a biblical model of Christ and the church by their behavior. The marriage relationship is an analogy of Christ's relationship to the church. When parents refuse to lead, or if they lead in a tyrannical manner, then they're painting a false picture of Christ for their own children and for the world. Scripture, or God, commands all Christian parents to diligently teach their children. Now, I'm going to back up a little bit and read from Ephesians chapter 5, 22, 23, 25, and 26, and ask for your input. Wives, submit unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. 25, 26. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. I'll just ask you this question. What if we took those verses and verses like it seriously, seriously? What would that do in the home as a place where little Christians can become seasoned, confident Christians? What if we took that seriously? What would happen?
Boy, that's a loaded question. It's a great question to contemplate. If I saw that in practice in an ideal home, I could see the mom and dad seriously giving consideration to the mental growth, the physical growth of their children, and to be able to work as a team, as a husband and wife, to be able to instruct them in the Lord at the level that the child is. And as Anna mentioned, to model that in the home. You know, sometimes there's arguments in the home, but how do you deal with arguments? And if the parents can model that, that's going to go a long way in helping the child to know how to deal with disagreements and people that may have difference of opinion, different opinions than what they have. So, you know, I look around the world, there are so many families that they don't have Christian homes. And to me, as I mentioned earlier, there's a richness, I think, in the Christian home as families can model this. And all of this is in preparation for the heavenly home that we're going to. We're trying to model what we think heaven's going to be like. And this is an awesome responsibility for parents. It's almost too much to handle, but God gives us the strength to be able to model this in a very positive way.
Interesting phrase. It's almost too much to handle. I mean, when you consider some of this this very direct counsel and what the Bible says to us and what we understand, what we've come to understand as Christians about the role of parents and the shaping and nurturing of our children, it's just about, you might say, what thinking person would want to take that on? It's such a big responsibility. School is for a few hours a day, a significant amount of hours a day. Church is for a few hours a week, a couple of hours a week. But the home, well, that's 24/7. So, Anna, I'm going to read this text and ask you about it. It's from Thursday's lesson. We're encouraged in Scripture, Deuteronomy 6 and verse 7, you shall teach them diligently to your children. That's these words, these principles of heaven. And shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Now, the question is asked, and I'm going to ask you this, Anna. What's the point here? What should it tell us about how crucial it is to always keep the reality of the Lord before not just our children, but ourselves as well? This is about keeping in the minds of our children the important principles of heaven. Talk to that need for consistency and just how important it is that we do keep the Word of God in the hearts and minds of our kids.
So when I was contemplating this, what I was thinking about was really our responsibility to create an environment that's ripe for learning. When we think about our children, when my children were very little and I wanted them to eat and sleep, well, I couldn't physically make them eat and sleep, but I could create an environment that was conducive to falling asleep, an environment where they had healthy food and they were in that environment. And I see this as basically an instruction to have these principles interwoven in your daily activities and then create that environment that God wants for our children and for us as well.
What can you say, Dr. Shaw, to the parents who look back on their parenting and they say, I blew it? And they may well be right in some cases. I wasn't the spiritual leader. We didn't have an atmosphere of heaven. If I could go back and do it again, I would. I don't want anybody to feel condemned because God didn't direct the construction of this lesson so we could condemn people or he could condemn people. What do you say? What would you say to people who find themselves in that situation? They look back and say, I just didn't do good.
It's never too late. Reach out to the family members that you may have, spoken a word that wasn't appropriate or an action that you may have done. I mean, it's not too late. Reach out and reconcile with your family. They are your blood. They are super important to who you are as a person. So I would say you've got to take action. It may be uncomfortable, but take action and make it right, because family is so important in our lives today.
Anna, I want to ask you the same question. Share some encouragement to the parents who look back and say, I didn't do a good job of representing Jesus in my home. What would you say to them?
I would say that we all make mistakes, and that any mistakes that we make, God can compensate for, and that whatever we do here on earth, if our children are grown and they're not with us anymore and we don't feel like we have an influence in their lives, then we have the power of prayer and we can pray over our children at any time. And to understand that God has given us free will, he's given our children free will, and he loves our children. So if we can love our children so deeply, understanding how much more God loves them, I think is very reassuring and even covers any mistakes that we have made as parents.
I cannot thank you both enough. You've taken a terrific lesson and made it great. Anna Patterson, Special Assistant to the President of Southwestern Adventist University. Dr. Ken Shaw, President of Southwestern Adventist University in Keene, Texas. Thank you both. I deeply appreciate you taking your time and sharing today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you. Next week, we study again. Remember, this quarter, education. And we're speaking with Seventh-day Adventist College presidents. Wonderful to see you. God bless you. We'll look forward to next week and more Sabbath School from It Is Written.